You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We're going to be joined here by Eagles wide receiver Jahan Dotson, who's getting set for his second season as a Philadelphia Eagle. Jahan, how you doing, man? Welcome to the Midday Show. Joe and Hugh, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. This is what I want to ask you. Coming from the Commanders and knowing everything that was said about you when you were there, to come here, I mean, how did that make you feel, knowing that you probably had to come here and had something to prove?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was big for me. You know, right around this time last year, I'm thinking, you know, I'm secure in a spot with a different team, and, you know, they move on from me. So it was kind of like, I talked to Amo about this, our receivers coach, when I first got here. Every time I step on that field, man, you got to show them what they're missing. You got to make them pay for doing what they did to you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my motto every time I step on this field is, you know, go kill and go show these people, you know, who the real me is, and show them, you know, what they missed out on.
So, you know, you got here a little bit late as far as camp is concerned. So was that one of the reasons why it took you, because towards the end of the year you started to come on a little bit, was that one of the reasons why it took you a while to get acclimated to this team, because you got here so late and was trying to catch up with everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, for me, getting acclimated to the team wasn't too long of a process, but, you know, with every great quarterback, there's a connection that he has with his receivers, and then he just builds that over time. So that was a big thing for me with Jalen, is just building a connection over time, him trusting me and me trusting him where I'm supposed to be, and that's what we built throughout the season.
You know, I'm kind of curious, because you said you used the word great when you described Jalen. What is it about Jalen Hurts to you that makes him so special?
He never settles. He doesn't settle for anything less than the best of himself, the best of others around him. He's always pushing himself and everyone around him to be great, every aspect of everything that we do. And to have a leader like that, leading your offense, commanding your offense, is a beautiful thing. And that's why we win so many games, because we have the head honcho, the leader at the point of the attack, commanding the best out of everyone.
What has this camp been like? So your first full camp here with the Eagles, with Nick Sirianni, with the coaching staff. And so Kevin Petullo was with you guys last year, pass game coordinator, but now he's the offensive coordinator. What's this camp been like, your first full camp as an Eagle?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been really good to be here for the full offseason, getting the OTAs in, being here all the training camp, building these connections. Most importantly, building that trust with my quarterback. That's what's going to take us far in the season. That's what's going to help us have those big plays down the field is these trusted reps that we're getting in, like today. It's really good for me and really good for the team for me to get this full training camp.
Was there a little extra, I don't know what the word is, motivation or umph for that title game? I mean, look, I understand you. Every game you're trying to laser focus, but if it was me and the Commanders traded me to the Eagles and I got to play the Commanders in the NFC Championship game, that would something extra. Would be inside. Did it feel for you?
Not too much. Just because I approach everything with the same mindset. But I'd be lying if I said it didn't mean a little bit more, just because of my circumstances. It was a great feeling to come out on top, especially the way we did and the commanding victory. Every time I step on the field, I'm trying to demand my presence. I'm trying to make impacts on the game, whether that's catching the ball, making big blocks. So anything that I can do to impact the game, I'm going to do that. And it was great to be able to make some plays in that game.
Let's talk about this wide receiver room. It's one of the best in the NFL. I mean, you have Devontae Smith, who's a first-round pick, a Heisman Trophy winner. A.J. Brown's been an incredible player in the NFL, second-round pick. You were a first-round pick. And you got some young guys that are showing something. You were playing in the first game. Darius Cooper made some plays. Johnny Wilson. Tell us about this wide receiver room. It feels like it's one of the best in the NFL. And even not just the top guys, like even below you guys, the guys that are trying to get their way on this team.
Yeah, the young Thundercats.
Feels like a deep room right now.
Yeah, we have a lot of depth, a lot of talent. And, I would rather it be that way than any other way, because it keeps everyone on their toes. You got to make sure you come to practice every day and show up, because you know someone next to you is going to show up. Everyone's talented in our room. Everyone's capable of making plays. So you know that the next guy is going to make a play, so you better make a play. It's fun that way. It keeps the competition going. We all support each other. We love the guys in our room. We have great guys in our room, but it's really fun to compete with those guys and watch film and learn from each other. It's been really cool to have such deep depth in our receiver room.
Eagles wide receiver Jahan Dotson with us here on the Midday Show. Jahan, tell us about Tanner McKee. I mean, you got to play in the game the other night with Tanner, and we've seen him for a couple years now since he was drafted in the sixth round, and he's got to play in the preseason. He played with you guys in that game against the Giants last year, and it feels to us like you guys have one of the better backups in the NFL too. What has it been like watching Tanner grow and catch and pass from him this summer?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think Tanner can be a starting quarterback in this league. He has that type of talent. As you guys can see, every time he steps on the field, he's super poised. Doesn't look like anything rattles him. And that's because he takes his job very seriously. Even the reps that he gets every day of practice, it might not be many, but he takes them very seriously. He takes them like game reps, and it shows when he's out there on the game field.
Jahan, take us through what it's like being on the field with Saquon Barkley, especially during last season. I mean, at some point it had a hitch early on. Like, he might take every single one he gets to the house. What is that like for you as a receiver trying to block for him, knowing I got to hold this block? Like, he might be right near me pretty quickly here.
Yeah, it's a little different because he has that home run ability. You know that, your block can be that touchdown block. A lot of backs that, I've played with, maybe you don't have to finish that downfield block 20 yards downfield, but with him, you got to get those because those can be the ones that he breaks 70-80 yards, because he has that capability. So it's really fun playing with him. He's an amazing talent and an even better person. So it's really cool being his teammate.
Jahan, the mentality of this camp, it seemed pretty early on like the message was, we're moving forward. Last year was last year. We're moving forward. What has that been like for you? I mean, you guys got those rings a few days before you showed up here for training camp. Was that challenging? Was it easy to just kind of say, it's over, now we start a new season?
For me personally, I felt it wasn't a problem at all, and I feel like a lot of guys on this team have that same mindset, as we want to do it again. We got to prove ourselves. No one's going to talk about what we did last year, week 3, week 4, week 15. We got to go out there and make it happen. That's what we're going to do. That's been the mindset coming into camp. We're going to compete with each other. We're going to get better, and we've moved on. We're trying to go get another one.
I have to ask you before you go. I mean, Penn State ranked number two, almost number one. I mean, that was pretty close to that vote. You're a Penn State guy. You played there. Is this the year? Are they as good in your mind as people think they are?
This has got to be the year, right? I mean, number two in the country. This is probably the best team I've ever seen them have. Maybe since Saquon was there. It has got to be the year. They got all the talent, all the pieces. Coach, great coaching staff. They got to make it happen this year. Hopefully, I can get up to a game.
Well, they look loaded this year. Listen, Jahan, we appreciate you hopping on with us here on the Midday Show. Congrats from last year, and good luck here in the 2025 season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Jahan Dotson. Joining us right now, Eagles edge rusher Josh Uche in his first year with the Philadelphia Eagles. Josh, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, appreciate you having us.
So what is it like since you've gotten here? What has the energy been like for you, and how are you starting to fit into this pass rush room?
Yeah, before I signed here with Philly, you know, I was at an NFLPA meeting, and I ran into my guy, Zach Bond. And, you know, we kind of reflected a little bit on the year he had and kind of the situation coming from New Orleans. And he just told me the first thing he realized when he got to Philly was the energy, just from when you first walk in the building. And, you know, remembering him saying, yo, like, Philly could be a place for you to come to, you know, when I was thinking about places. And he was 100% right, man. The energy here from the staff, the cafeteria room, to the janitor, to everything, everybody is high.
Shout out to T-Roy.
Yeah, shout out T-Roy.
Good dude.
Josh, how would you compare being here? I mean, you've played in some pretty high-profile spots. You were a New England Patriot. You were a Kansas City Chief. Now you're in Philadelphia. How would you compare the atmosphere here to a place like that? Because you've been in three spots where the expectation is to win and to win a championship.
Yeah, you know, all of the places are different. But I'd say just from an organizational standpoint, I think things are just ran very, very efficiently here. I feel like Howie does a great job bringing in people that keep the machine rolling, man. I mean, just from staff to players to coaches to everybody. So just kudos to the organization and the higher-ups for keeping this a well-oiled machine.
So how different has Vic Fangio been than the other defensive coordinators that you work for? How is his style different from those styles?
Yeah, man, every artist is unique in their own way. I say Coach Fangio just – it's a lot. It's unique, man. Like, you got to be prepared for everything. You just got to be ready for everything, man. I mean, he's got a little bit of everything under his sleeve, so you never know what to expect. And, it's attack mode, you know. Like, Bill was different. He had his own philosophies. Spags was different, own philosophies. But this philosophy I'm in now, I mean, I feel like it's a great, great fit for me.
What did you think watching them last year? I mean, obviously you saw them, right, the Super Bowl. I mean, what did you think watching this defense last year? Because Josh, we didn't know what to expect last year. They had a lot of younger guys. They had a lot of turnover on their defense, new coordinator. And it took a few weeks. First month wasn't great. But then once October hit, they started to roll. What did you think watching them from kind of afar last year before you got here?
Yeah, my first time seeing them was in the Super Bowl. I was on the sidelines watching and just seeing them get after the passer, man. But not only get after the passer, but the back end. Like, just the relationship between the DBs and the front seven. Like, you know, pressure, putting pressure on the quarterback, but also forcing him to keep the ball on the back end. Like, that relationship was beautiful, man, and it was something to see up close and personal, man. It was crazy.
You mentioned the DBs. How good are these young guys behind you right now? Quinyon Mitchell, first round pick last year, played really well as a rookie. Cooper DeJean, second round pick, and he seems to play everywhere, safety, corner, slot. How, from your perspective so far, how good can those guys be?
Man, you've got guys in the top 100 as rookies, man. Like, that says a lot. Says everything, voted by their peers. I mean, the sky's the limit, you know. And here, you know, it's all about the next day. You know, there's not too much reflecting about Super Bowl or accomplishments or accolades. It's all about improving and getting better. And shout out to Coach Sirianni for just always, you know, keeping the competition going.
Tell us about Coach Sirianni. What's he like as a player? I mean, we get to see him on the sidelines. We get to hear him talk. It seems like he really finds a way to connect with all of you guys. And that's, I don't think that's easy with a roster this big in training camp to find a connection. What's been your perspective with Sirianni so far in camp here?
Yeah, man, he's just like a great conductor of the orchestra, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different pieces, so many different, you know, instruments to keep this thing going and flowing, and he just does a great job orchestrating everything.
Eagles pass rusher Josh Uche here with us here. So you mentioned Zach Bond was a guy that, you know, you talked to and you thought maybe the Eagles could be a fit. Did his rise here play into that? Because, you know, Zach came here on a one-year deal, and now he's a he's solidified as he's an Eagle. He re-signed here. Did the fact that his year went that way, did that kind of make you think, wow, look what happened to Zach when he came here?
Yeah, of course. You see that. You see the way, you know, the Eagles can help guys, you know, develop or utilize their strengths, you know, and then turn a situation where they might not have been utilized the proper way and into a dominant player. And I think for me, just talking to him, like, you know, one-on-one definitely influenced my decision. And then obviously, yeah, just seeing how dominant he became off the 1 year was definitely important. So
what are your expectations for this season for yourself in this defense?
Becoming the best player I can be, you know, doing what's asked of me, you know, whatever's in the confines of the system, man, and just painting the best picture I could paint within the canvas and the guidelines I'm given.
So if there's listeners out there, if our listeners, maybe, you know, they know you from your career and they've seen you a little bit, but maybe they haven't watched you play a lot so far, and this is going to be the first time. What are we getting in Josh Uche? I mean, this town and this city has had a long history of big-time pass rushers, including the guy sitting next to you right there. What's Josh Uche like? What kind of player are you for those listeners out there that maybe haven't really studied your game yet?
I'd say the type of player I am is somebody that's determined to win, somebody that's just going to win, whether it be in pass rush, run, coverage, whatever the case is. I'm trying to win every single rep. I'm treating every rep like it's my last rep. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I was coached coming out of Miami, Florida. And, you know, the culture down there breeds something different, you know. So that's what I bring to the game. That's what I bring to the field. And just treating every play like it's my last.
Josh, you mentioned that top 100 list with players, right? Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell already on it. As you can imagine, we spent a lot of time talking about Jalen Hurts and the list he's on or where he's not and where he's ranked. For you, guy that competed against Jalen Hurts, now you're on his team. What was it like to prepare for him? What makes him a difficult quarterback to go against?
Yeah, he's dynamic, man. He can not only run but pass as well. Like, so as a, you know, as a front, you just have to be very aware of that. You know, you can't just you have to be a coordinated front when you go against Jalen, because if you're not, they're going to exploit those different gaps. But also you have to be very solid on the back end too, because he can hurt you with both ways, his feet and throwing the ball as well.
Josh, great stuff, man. We appreciate you hopping on. Good luck this season. We're excited to watch you play, and you could have a big role here this season. So we'll be cheering you on. Thank you, Josh.
Appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Josh Uche,
have a good one, man.
Eagles edge rusher.
Let's go out on the guest line right now as the Landon Dickerson news, obviously the biggest news of the day yesterday and today. Feared the worst. Great news coming out about the prognosis for Dickerson's knee, the meniscus injury. It looks like there is a chance that you will even be ready to start the season for the Eagles. For more on this, for the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report, let's talk to Dr. Arjun Rampersand. Is a primary care sports medicine physician at Jefferson Health 3B Orthopedics located in Langhorne. Dr. Rampersand is also the head team physician for Westchester University, Nazareth Academy, Bristol High School, and Conwell Egan High School. For more information about Dr. Arjun Rampersand, go to ortho@jeffersonhealth.com. And it is our pleasure to have Dr. Rampersand on today. Doc, how you doing this morning, my friend?
Doing well, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking the time. Let's dive right into this Landon Dickerson injury. You've seen the video of the injury itself. You've heard the Adam Schefter report about the prognosis. Take us inside your thoughts on the injury, what the surgery is, and the prognosis as you understand.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thing you see when anybody goes down like that is, oh, God, did they tear up their knee? Are we looking at a season-ending injury? And the one video... you see him step back, his left foot kind of looks like it gets tangled up with my Lada, and I think he loses balance, and when he goes back and then he plants hard down on that right foot, you see him kind of immediately wince and buckle, and then he goes down, and we're all kind of holding our breath, waiting for him to hopefully get up. So you're thinking it could be an ACL tear, it could be a meniscus, could it be an Achilles? Thankfully, the MRI showed that it was more meniscal tear than anything else.
Do we know if it's medial or lateral meniscus, Doc?
I haven't seen any confirmation of that as of yet. They said meniscal injury, so we don't know what side it is. And from the way he planted it being non-contact, it's really hard to tell. If you get somebody that tumbled into you from one side or the other, you get a lot better idea of which compartment, and you get stressed. But in that situation, it's a little harder to tell.
So we have been... informed that it is a minor procedure that they will be, going in for. What exactly does that mean, a minor procedure?
So basically what they're saying is minor means arthroscopic and a shorter recovery period than if you had to do a major ligament reconstruction. And in this case, it's very unlikely to be a meniscal repair, which is a longer recovery too. That would be something where he'd be out 3 to 4 months, and we'd be looking at the entire regular season most likely. So there's likely a piece of the meniscal tissue that's torn, and if it's something that's flipped its way into the joint where the knee would bend, they'll cut it out and kind of smooth out whatever else got injured or frayed to try to calm everything down, and that recovery is much quicker.
So how much quicker are we talking? How long could he possibly be out now?
The Eagles have an optimistic timeline of week one, which would be about 3 weeks from now. For a professional athlete, that's fair. 3 to 4, maybe 5 weeks after a meniscal scope or meniscectomy is normal. Yeah, absolutely. Now, if it was a layman athlete, not a professional athlete, you'd be looking closer to 6-ish, but they obviously have... more resources, full-time conditioning, all of that, and their job is rehab. While, we're up here doing these phone calls at 7:30 in the morning.
Doc, I was told when I was scoped the first time, I was told the only thing that's stopping you from coming back tomorrow is the swelling. You know, they said, hey, we shaved away the stuff that's harming you and feeling clunky, so. As soon as we get the swelling out with whatever method we use, you'll be good to go. How is that still the way they view this? Because it sounds like this is a little less aggressive than that.
Well, to an extent. And it may also depend on situation, because we're in training camp and preseason. If this happened week 18 of the regular season, there may be a more aggressive timeline. Even, hopefully there's a bye for the Eagles in week one. But... you're right. The first thing is the swelling has to come down from the aggravation inflammation, and you have to heal from the incision and scars, but being arthroscopic and a much smaller incision than making an opening where you can have to physically get in there, it's not a long recovery period. So you're right that once things calm down to the point where he can engage that joint fully, he can get back to it. The average timeline is somewhere in that 3 to 4 weeks for something like that. It could have been rushed to two, but we don't need to for somebody who's an experienced NFL player who's been through training camp preseasons before, and he's got a history of knee injuries too.
Yeah, that's how does that impact his recovery, Doc? Landon's history of knee injuries. He's had stuff done in there before.
And does it mean he's more likely to re-injure it as well?
It's a possibility. You know, I don't have the scans in front of me, so it's hard for me to give you an exact timeline or look of how much meniscus/cartilage damage he's had, but he's torn his ACL before. I think the left knee was 2020, so he's had that repaired. And he had some kind of knee surgery in the offseason because we all saw him kind of battling through the playoffs with a lot of knee soreness. So that can make the recovery possibly a little bit longer, but it also depends on did he get injured in the same area or is this a different part of that meniscus? Because like you said earlier, John, there's a medial, there's a lateral, and so different parts of it could get injured. Is it somewhere where he's had an injury in scar tissue or removal before, or is this a whole different area? All that could impact his healing time as well.
Yeah, and the size of Landon Dickerson himself, this has to be impactful. When you weigh close to 400 pounds, that's got to make it tougher to come back from something like this, doesn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, he's also a very, very tall man, which helps. There's a lot of surface area to distribute that weight. I've talked to you guys before. We talked about Joel Embiid's meniscus and same kind of thing. That's a large man, like you said, and a lot of weight and power that's going to shift from side to side. So, you know, that can complicate recovery somewhat too. And again, it depends also on how the cartilage under the meniscal surface is and how much is intact or how much was damaged. And they maybe even if they go and see some fraying in there, they can clean that out too, which would, sure, like you said, calm down inflammation and swelling, so it allows them to return sooner. But since they did not seem to see anything that they would try to stitch back together or a really large piece that would have to remove, it does make his timeline for return shorter, which is a sigh of relief for all of us.
Wow.
This is the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. We're talking to Dr. Arjun Rampersad, giving us good news.
That's
here.
That's amazing.
The primary care sports medicine physician at Jefferson Health 3B Orthopedics located in Langhorne. Dr. Rampersad, one more question for you. I'm going to switch sports on you, but there is one other injury in Philly sports that is kind of hanging over things and not as serious, we think, as the Landon Dickerson thing, but the Zach Wheeler shoulder fatigue thing that's going on. They did the imaging. It was clean, but, you know, he's talked about feeling off. He's had issues in it for a while, he said. From what you've read about it, seen about the situation, how concerned should we be about Zach Wheeler's shoulder?
Well, I think, first of all of us are a little bit pins and needles after the last couple Phillies postseason.
Yeah, you're right, bud.
I know I am too, but the first thing that's reassuring is he reported that stiff this last week, soreness. They got an MRI, so no structural damage. So no major damage to the rotator cuff tendons, the labrum, you know, anything in the shoulder that could really either affect him throwing and or mean there would be any sort of surgical procedure for him in the offseason or down the line. But this has happened to him before, and you see it with baseball pitchers. It's a long season. They're pitching every 5 to 6 days over 6 months. So they bandy around this term called dead arm.
Dead arm, sure.
The tired arm in the summer, where I think it's just there's muscle fatigue from this extreme activity for repetitive motion for a while. I mean, he's throwing 95-plus. Yeah.
And he's 35 years old,
over the
too.
Summer.
Yeah.
And he did 2022, 2023. He reported this a little bit, and I think he's had some higher ERAs July and August the last couple of years.
You're absolutely right about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, so velocity was down a little bit. And he's bounced back in September. So, I mean, I remember in 2022 myself when they were making the stretch run that his arm was down a little bit, and then he came out in October and he was throwing 96 and in game one, and everybody just kind of calmed down. So he's a veteran. He's been around a long time. He knows his shoulder pretty well. The fact that there wasn't any major shoulder damage is really reassuring. I'll certainly be keeping an eye just to see if, as he gets back into September, if it ticks back up where he's maybe not necessarily at 96, 97, but if he's getting closer to his normal 95 with that with the fastball, I'd feel better. But I think it's something where I would just trust him and the medical staff to kind of keep working through his routine after starts and how he rehabs and go from there. But the clean MRI of the shoulder is very reassuring.
We really appreciate you today, sir. That was about as good a NovaCare rehabilitation injury report as we could have hoped for, considering those two injuries, or at least
phenomenal
news on both
fronts.
Thank you. Again, this is Dr. Arjun Rampersad. For more information about Dr. Rampersad, you can go to ortho@jeffersonhealth.com. Dr. Rampersad, thank you, my friend. This has been a positive phone call. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I love giving people positive news about any sort of injury, and I'm happy to do it. In fact, when you guys reached out, there was a web page up that said Landon Dickerson meniscus, because I was trying to find out what happened yesterday too.
I love that. Well, thank you, Doc. I'm sure we'll talk to you again during the season.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys. Go Burns.
Right, thanks, you too. Doc.
We do not need nor want a second opinion.
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
That was good.
That was perfect.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Wednesday at 3. We are joined by the great Larry Anderson. L.A., since the last time we talked to you, the Phillies obtained one of the best closures in baseball, and now they're in first place by 5 games since the last time we talked to you. I mean, I love having you on, but it's been a pretty good run in that time.
It's been a great run.
Yeah.
I think the level of confidence that what that did just for the whole team, I think that's a big factor. I really do. Somebody sent me a meme. It was like, I'm not afraid anymore of who's going to close the games out. And it's like a little kid, like, looking up. It's like, and I think that's how people feel. And not that the bullpen, you know, they've been okay. But it's like, I don't know. We've never had a closer in so long a time. I don't think that's good. I think when you get somebody that you can just put in that slot and slide everybody back a spot, I think it takes so much pressure off everybody. You've heard my analogy of the tightrope walker. When you have a closer like that, that's your net. That makes it a lot easier to go across that tightrope. And that's what Jolan has brought to this team. And I think it's shown that just sliding guys back, you know, in a more comfortable slot for them. I think it had a great impact on the whole ball club.
It's not always a thing where the fans feel one thing and the team also feels the same thing. But I have to say, watching it, knowing that he's there in the ninth, I don't think I've ever experienced, and he's only been here for 2 weeks,
right,
but I've never experienced it like, oh, well, he's not going to blow the save. Like, I would be stunned if he blew the save. And I, you know, even as good as Lidge had a perfect year, I never felt with Lidge the way that I feel with, and that's no disrespect to Lidge.
No. Mm-hmm.
But like, this guy is just like, he is as good as him doing that is as good as I've seen anybody do anything with the Phillies over the last 20 years, to be honest with you.
No doubt.
Yeah.
When you just look at his stuff, look, and you go, okay, there's 98. Oh, wait, that wasn't a fastball. That was a slinker or whatever they call it. It's like, what the hell's going on? Well, this is a bionic arm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a few pitches later, you see 103. It's like, this is unreal. But to have that, the mentality of everybody around, you know, everybody associated with that team, it's like a big sigh of relief. It's like, oh, yes, you know, it relaxes everybody. And I think it's shown in the way we're playing.
Do you think that the other team too, knowing that he's coming in the ninth, may even force them to press in a different way in the sixth, seventh, and eighth, knowing that like it's lights out after that inning's over anyway?
I don't think there's any question. And now are other managers going to look at it like that? I got to believe they are. I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's like telling guys, go ahead and go up there and swing because the rain's coming and we're already ahead and it's the fifth inning, so just swing and make some quick outs. I mean, you're not going to that extreme or anything like that, but I think it's definitely in the back of their minds. Like, we have to do things. We might have to push some buttons a little earlier the normal to make sure that we're not going up against that guy in a one-run game in the ninth inning, because he's just that good. And I think it's a great point. I think it definitely could affect the way opposing managers work their games against us.
So let me ask you this. It's the, because this will happen, assuming, God willing, Phillies make the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. It's the eighth inning. You're up 3-2. The heart of the order is up in the eighth for the team that you're playing, 2-3-4. You have Kirkering left and you have Duran left. What do you do in the eighth inning? Do you put Duran in there because it's the heart of the order, or do you keep it the way that you've done it up until that point, let Duran handle the ninth and put Kirkering in the eighth?
For me, he's my closer. He's my ninth inning guy. That's the way I look at it. And I know, you know, Thompson, before, like, since he's been here, he's gone with, okay, we don't have a set closer, so I'm going to go with the matchups in those two innings. If there's more left-handers in the eighth inning, I use Alvarado. If there's more lefties in the ninth, I use Alvarado, and, you know, versus Kirkring or something like that. Now that we have Duran, I would rather see him just stay in the ninth spot, ninth inning, you know, or the last inning, put it that way. I would rather have him there partly for his own mentality. He doesn't have to think about, well, do I have to be ready for the eighth, or am I just going to pitch the ninth? I think that's part of the deal of having a set closer, is he knows he's going to pitch the ninth inning. And would it be better if he pitched the eighth against 2, 3, and 4? Possibly. But could it change his mentality? And that's the thing, that's what worries me more than anything is, and I know he'll say the right thing. Most every pitcher will say the right thing. They'll say, you know what, you pitch me where you want. I'll pitch wherever you want me, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But deep down, I mean, if you put a lie detector test on him and go, hey, does that really bother you if you're pitching the eighth instead of the ninth? He might not pass it if he says, no, it doesn't bother me. He might not pass that lie detector.
Yeah, when we were talking about the other day, to me it's sort of similar to the Bryce says he'll hit second and Bryce says he'll play the outfield. But if you put Bryce on a lie detector test, he doesn't want to play the outfield, doesn't want to hit second. And it's on Rob Thompson to know, I'm glad you offered that, but I know what my guy wants. And, you know. Did you ever push for an intro like Duran has when you were in the league? Did you have an idea?
Come on, LA.
Yeah, come on, man.
No, but there were some times I wish I had it on the exit.
Yeah.
Turn the lights out. Yeah, let me get out of here.
Yep.
Yeah, let me sneak on out of here after that performance. But no, that's tremendous. I mean, I had no idea. I honestly had never seen it before. I had never heard him talk about it. And maybe that's
what happens when you play in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's the other thing, you know. But I mean, the what they went through to get to that and to do it, and then the lights are out, and then the phones are up. I'm like, part of the problem for me is I don't have any social media, so I have no clue about a lot of things that are happening. That I
smart man.
Yeah,
you're a smart man.
You're better off.
Yes.
So I can't. There's no way I could do it. I don't trust myself enough to say, I can just do this, or I'll just look at here. I can't. But just stay away from it. So I have. So, but I do miss a lot of stuff. I all kinds of things. I don't get in trouble.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think that's the best thing. So, so I really hadn't heard anything about it, but to see the lights go out and all the phone lights, I thought I was at a concert and I was waiting for Jelly Roll or somebody to come rolling out.
Jelly Roll, how about that?
Yeah.
Hold on, what do you know about Jelly Roll?
Oh, everything. it was gave you chills. It was like, it was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, was Hoffman coming in with San Diego to Hell's Bells and whatever it was, I think that's what it was. But I mean, I haven't seen anything like Duran's
Durantula. Yes.
Yeah. Durantula. 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 Yeah.
Durantula. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really, really cool.
So that's the good news. The
bad news is it's going to keep all the fans in the seats till the very last.
Yes, yeah.
And so it's going to make traffic worse.
Yeah. Well, no.
Well, and the players are going to start getting booed if they hit home runs to take them out of save situations.
Yeah. Well, Ike was saying that he was thinking, he was like, I want to go and watch the game. And I was like, yeah, but you have to stay till the end. And he said, wow.
Yeah, because I never stay to the end, LA. I'm out of there by the sixth inning, man. Fifth, sixth inning, I'm out of there.
So we got a couple of pitchers scuffling right now. We'll go with Ranger first because he was last night, and it's been, you know, it has been documented pretty clearly his lack of velocity, and it looks like he is physically struggling up there or frustrated. I guess my question to you is and you're not in his body. Is the best thing for Ranger to give him some time off? Is the best thing for Ranger to let him fight through it? Or is the best thing for Ranger to say, hey, with Nola back, that if he's going to be the guy that ends up in the bullpen anyway, if we have to save him, what do they do with Ranger at this point?
Whew, that's a $64,000 question. Yeah. I'm surprised. Like, I think because I've seen him do it, I've seen him pitch. He's pitched good games without his velocity. You know, with that 93, like if I'm not mistaken, I remember 93, 94 last year in the first part of the year. I mean, and he was that way for 15 starts, and all of a sudden he just started losing a little, not a ton, but a little bit. And then this year, I've never really seen him have his that kind of velocity, but he's pitched good games. So, with his ability to control the strike zone, command the strike zone, he can still win, but I just, the thing that bothers me, and I've seen it a couple times now, is just some of his body language.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look good. And it's the frustration. Don't get me wrong. I totally understand it. And you're missing pitches and crucial pitches and that, but the overall body language, when he, I don't think he felt like he had great command last night. I don't think he did, but to see him when things are going right, he just kind of going around, bouncing around here and there, and head up. You know, there's been a couple games where, and last night was one where it's almost like he even said it in the clips today. He's like, I just stopped throwing it because I couldn't get it, and it was almost like saying, well, I quit on it. And it's, trust me, I'm not saying he quit on the team. I'm not saying that. But he quit on a part of his game.
Yeah,
because he got frustrated, and you can't do that because he's got the good enough command. Now, there's going to be days where he doesn't have it, and last night was one of them. But I think the velocity being down to where it's at, 88, 89, is just that's just so different from where it is. But I don't know, like Thompson said, maybe it's fatigue, but he hasn't complained about anything. He says he feels good. He's, you know, his back's not bothering him. So I don't know if after a slow start, you know, not pitching regularly at the start of the season, if maybe now he's in a dead arm period time, you know, course into the season, where he just got to, you know, battle through it and you know, let his arm bounce back. Maybe a little extra time off would help.
You know, I'm not saying this is all of it. The free agency thing has to weigh on his mind, though. And I'm sure he's not between every pitch, but you think, like, at one point when he was cooking this year or cooking last year, you look at this free agency and it's all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a deal that's maybe, you know, $80 million, $100 million. Then all of a sudden this happens again. And it has to go into his head at some point that his future is determined by how he pitches this year.
I mean, I think that's a part of it, but I don't, everybody's different. And with Ranger, I don't think, and I might be wrong, but I don't think, I think he'd be happy with $40 million,
yeah,
which most people would be.
Yes. I would, you know, be, if anyone wants to sign.
$100 million, I'm only going to get $40 million.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
What are my great-great-great-great-grandkids going to do?
Right, right.
But I think that plays a part, but I don't know if maybe there's a, this might sound nuts, but maybe there's a fear of success. Maybe he's so comfortable here, he doesn't want to go anywhere else. And I'm not saying that he's not pitching good or not throwing hard because of that. But I mean, things like that can get in the guy's head. So there's certain guys that have been afraid of success. And, you know, I don't think that's him. But when you look at what's going on, it just, you can't help but wonder a little bit.
So, L.A., one of the things I love about you is you're like me. You're an old-school guy. You care. You know, you like tradition, all that sort of stuff. So, speaking of free agency, We've been talking about this today. Kyle Schwarber from Cincinnati. They asked him yesterday, you know, they asked him about his friend. Do your friends want you to come back or whatever? And he basically says, yeah, if it doesn't work out in Philly, I would definitely think about coming back. And then last night, he's catching ceremonial first pitches before the game. Like, is there any part of you that looks at that and says, like, eh, you know, you're trying to win a World Series with the Phillies right now. Maybe ease off of the Cincinnati stuff.
I don't know. I think at the end of this season, I think teams are just going to line up and just throw in a bunch of numbers. And there's going to be a lot of high numbers.
Yeah.
That's just the way I look at it. Like, it's no matter what, he's going to go out and play his game. He's not going to play for anybody else except for the Phillies this year. And he'll play that way. He'll give everything he has for the Phillies and let the chips fall where they may. I don't think he's locked into coming back here. From his own standpoint, I think he loves it here. I don't think there's any question. I think the fans love him here. He knows that. But the fans love him everywhere he's gone, I think.
Yeah.
And I think any fans that get him will love him. So, I mean, he's basically just throwing out a blank check to all the organizations and going, you guys go ahead and fill it out however you want, and I'll make my decision. Because he's, I mean, a guy like that, having that bad in the lineup, who's not going to want that? I mean, there's, and just the fact that the character that he has, the integrity and all of that that comes with it, the things he does off the field in the community, with the kids, with law enforcement, everything. It just, you can't hope for anything better. And then you throw that, you know, with throwing the numbers in that he's put up. I don't think it matters what he does. I don't think he can talk about Cincinnati, talking about being at home and all he wants. But it's going to come to the end of the season, and I think partly it's going to be who wants to give him the most years and the most money. And I would hope that he would, you know, give the Phillies the benefit of the doubt because of what he's done here and how great that they've treated him here. So, I mean, it's almost a scary scenario of thinking that you could be without him. I don't know what this team would be without him right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's the only guaranteed power on the lineup right now. You know, yeah. you got a bunch of other 20 home run guys, that sort of stuff, but he's the slugger. Well, L.A., let's get a win in Cincinnati, win another series, move on, and bury the Mets. That's what I'm hoping
for. Counting on you.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right, L.A.
Have a good talking to you.
See you, man.
Champ Camp Eagles and Browns just wrapping up practice today. And now we are joined by Eagles running back Will Shipley.
Will!
Will, how was it today, man? Looked like a hot one out there today.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was definitely one of those days that grows that callus a little bit. But I really appreciate y'all having me on.
You know what, Will? We're just going to jump right into it, man. I think that as a running back that you have great field vision. But, dog, when we going to work on that breakaway speed, dog? When is that coming?
Yeah, you know, it's coming for sure. There's no doubt. You know, there's a lot of different parts of the game that I got to continue to work on. And, you know, there's no doubt that I got my head down and I'm doing it.
No, you know what's funny, though? I like the way you run because, like I said, when you hit the hole, you hit the hole. Is it more so just getting you – because that was you had a long run the other night. Is it just you – is it one of those things where you just have to get used to running that far?
Yeah, you know, I really never had a problem with it. You know, I would say I'm guessing you're talking about, one, the NFC Championship run against the Commanders. And, you know, you look back to it, I played a full game, and I can't tell you the last time that I had run 60 yards like that. which is 100% on me. I take full responsibility for that, no doubt about it. You know, so just being in a position where I can learn from that experience and to be ready for that. So now throughout practice on my last rep, you know, I can boom,
always take
I
it to
can
the
burst.
House.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it to the house.
So just getting those experiences, they'll definitely humble you. But at the end of the day, I've just got a growth mindset. So I learn from, and then, you know, the preseason game against the Bengals, Tyler Steen does a great job, opens it up. Han, you know, gets the guy on the outside. I make a cut, but it's not exactly vertical, right? I'm still kind of etching towards the sideline. So then when I go to make my move, I got four less yards than I normally would have to work with. So I feel like I got a stiff arm him, and then he grew that hand. if I don't throw that stiff arm, if I get vertical straight out of that cut,
then it's a wrap.
Exactly, right? So, you know, I think people that watch it could say, you know, you ain't got the – I'm very confident in my speed. And I got no doubt about it.
No, you got it. It's just that, you know, it's them angles, man.
Exactly. And like I said, I got a growth mindset. So I'm looking forward to the next opportunities and, you know, being able to capitalize on them.
Well, for the record, that's you. I think you have the breakaway speed.
Well, you know, so. I told you. Like, but see, to be honest with, because I was on here talking trash when you weren't here, and so, you know, to keep my street cred, I got to talk about it.
My ears were hot. My ears were hot.
You know what I mean. I got to keep street cred.
Well, going into this season though, because you're in line for a bigger role this year. Kenny Gainwell leaves in the offseason. Do you approach things any differently, knowing that you're probably going to get more playing time, being that main guy to kind of spell Saquon during games?
You know, I would say the preparation is very similar, but the mindset has got to change a little bit, and it has. You know, just being a four core guy last year, really taking you know, a lot of pride in my special teams play. You know, the punt unit, just really every unit, and being able to still take pride in that stuff, but also understanding that I've got to get myself ready to step in and make the most of my opportunities and help the offense win as well, you know, whenever that opportunity presents itself. So, you know, last year I definitely tried to prepare as if I was the starter. You know, that's something I hung my hat on and a slogan that I kind of ran off of last year. But the mindset is definitely different going into this year and just making sure I'm mentally, physically, spiritually ready to go.
Yeah, and one of the things with you, Will, is you're multidimensional in terms of running, receiving, did a lot of that at Clemson as well. Any guys you kind of modeled your game after?
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up.
You know, I would say it's really a handful of different guys that I watched growing up, you know, and not even big time NFL guys, you know, big time NFL names, you know, like Elijah Hood from Charlotte Catholic, had a little stint in the league, for the Carolina Panthers, played at UNC. You know, I grew up watching him play high school football. And you know, just different guys over the years that I watched, and you know, was able to get in contact with, and just kind of a little bit of everybody.
What was it like being in the meeting room with the likes of Saquon Barkley? What did you learn from him?
yeah, you learn something every day from him. And he's a special cat. There's no doubt about it. On the field, off the field, as a role model, just who he is. They say you don't want to meet your heroes, but I say he debunks that theory 100% of the time. Because that's just who he is. In the weight room, in the film room, I mean, you can learn something from him every day. So continuing to have that growth mindset and just appreciate where God has put me and being able to learn from him and from AJ and, you know, Coach Singleton as well, just how much they've helped me grow within the last year and some change that I've been here has been really, really huge for me.
I'm kind of curious because, you know, seeing what Saquon was able to do last year and being in the meeting room and everything and being in the weight room with him, has it made you change the way you work out a little bit? Have you started to do a little bit more squats or hit the treadmill a little bit more? How has your workout changed?
Yeah, you know, I think there's beauty in God's creation, and God created everybody different. At the same time, he pushes you. He pushes you to be competitive. So, I can say I squatted more this off season than I have since, you know, my sophomore year of college. That's solely because of him, you know?
Yeah.
He definitely pushes me to be competitive. But at the same time, I know that, you know, I'm a different back. I'm a different person than him, and I've got different strengths and abilities. So I've got to let those shine while, like I said, just also being able to pick up anything from him that I possibly can.
Eagles running back Will Shipley joining us now after Eagles practice today. And obviously, Will, the talent on this offense is pretty ridiculous. You got Saquon, obviously, the receivers on the outside, Jalen at quarterback. But this offensive line, obviously, that's a running back's best friend. What's it like running behind those guys with all the talent that you guys have up front?
Yeah, it's really a blessing. First of all, you just look at them. I get in the huddle and I'm like, holy cow. Yeah, some big-ass dudes, right? No doubt about it. And, also just the way that they communicate, with the running back and help us out with what they're thinking and ask what we're thinking and what we're seeing. It's just a total teamwork. So, it's been a pleasure getting to work with those guys and, can really see just how much they've helped me grow as well.
Yeah, and Will, obviously you went to big school in Clemson, and obviously that's kind of like a theme with this team. A lot of guys from Bama, Georgia. How does playing at a program like that help prepare you for playing at the big stage in the NFL?
You know, I think that it's just the growth and the preparation and, you know, being able to go into those stadiums on Saturdays and seeing, 80-plus thousand people. Playing in the Link, as awesome as it is, it doesn't take you aback. You know, your eyes don't get too big. It's what you've been doing. You've had those experiences before. So, having Coach Sweeney, a coach like that at a top-tier program is also such a huge deal, and what he instills in you. You know, right when you step on campus your freshman year, it's how can you be a pro at the college level? Because, if you come here, that's where you want to go. And, I was very straightforward with him. When I came to Clemson, that's what I wanted to do. So he holds you to that standard, and it definitely pays his dividends for sure.
And just one more for you, Will. You mentioned Coach Dabo there. Dabo Swinney, Nick Sirianni. How would you compare the two of those guys?
Yeah, I don't think you could compare them because they're both so great. It's almost like, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. Yeah, you have an opinion, but at the end of the day, you just got to admire and appreciate what they're able to do at their respective eras, levels, the whole nine. So Coach Sweeney and what he's done with that Clemson program ever since he became the head guy is truly incredible. I stay in touch with him, and I'm excited for what they got going this year. Gonna kick some LSU Tigers butt coming up here in the next couple weeks, and then Coach Sirianni, he does such a great job, just like Coach Sweeney, of really setting a foundation, setting a culture, making sure that you're not only playing for yourself, but you're playing for your teammates and your coaches and really just the whole organization. So if I had to compare them, that's the similarity that I would say they both have in common, is just really, really good at setting that culture.
Well, Will Shipley, Eagles running back, should be in for a big role this year. Will, thanks so much for hopping on with us today, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys.
I appreciate it. Good luck this year, Will. It is Izzo Shalari joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Aziz, thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
How'd it feel going up against somebody else today, not beating up on your own teammates?
Nah, I feel great. You know, we're coming out here competing together with your brothers. It always feels good to go against somebody else, a different opponent, a different jersey, and just ready to work.
Was that you out there scrapping, dog? I couldn't see the number, but who was out there scrapping?
Nah, I was scrapping, man. You know, when things get high and get competitive, you know, things can turn different ways.
What was that? Was that a D-line, offensive line thing?
Nah, I think it was probably like a cornerback.
The DB? Yeah, the DBs getting a little chippy. It's always a funny thing when the little guys be out there fighting, man.
Yeah, nah, it's funny, man. I know they're competing and they're going hard, so, you know, things can get
So since you've been here in Philadelphia, what is the biggest difference you've noticed about here as opposed to being up north?
Man, I just feel like, you know, everyone here come together. Like, the energy in the building is different. Like, when you step in here, you know, my brothers that I've been new, you know, from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, y'all kind of deep up in this
piece. It's different, man. Like, you just feel the energy, man. Everyone's ready. Everyone's competing. Everyone's just, like, upbeat and just ready to rock.
Yeah, and Aziz, obviously you come in here, play for kind of a legendary defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. You played for some good ones in your time. How does Vic compare to a guy like, you know, Wink Martindale in New York, who you played for up there?
Man, he knows it all, man. He's the one, man. It's great to be out here with him and just competing and getting better every single day to get tips from him, the legend like that he is, and it's just always amazing, man, just to keep getting better.
So how do you feel like how do you feel you're integrating your game into what the Eagles are trying to do here? How do you feel that that's going?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's going good. You know, just taking it one day at a time, just trying to take every day to continue to get better and improve every time I step on the field and just leave it all out there and continue to just take it one step at a time.
Yeah, and Aziz, last year, obviously, for the Eagles, a huge story of the season was the success Saquon had. I'm interested from your perspective, being up there, seeing your former teammates.
Oh, yeah, you saw him when
here.
He was up there and they were talking about he was trash.
And have that kind of season. What was that perspective like, seeing what Saquon was doing while you're up there?
Yeah, nah, it was amazing, man. You know, I always knew Saquon was that guy, and he's an amazing player. And, you know, when he got here, he was able to just keep doing what he did to an extremely higher level, and he just take it over. And it's just great to see him do what he do, because I know how hard he worked. I see him up there in New York grinding every day. He had some injuries and he came here. He just kept doing what he do and showed it at a crazy level.
See, I'm about to ask a question. Now, I'm going to let you off the hook by saying you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask. Yeah. Because you were in that locker room last year to see Saquon doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, how many times did y'all go to work and y'all be like, damn, dog? You see what Saquon doing down there in Philly? How many times did that conversation happen?
Hey, well, it happened a couple of times, man. We were excited for him, though, man. We were excited for him, man.
Saquon, wait a minute, now. Here's the second part of that now. So how many people, like, when y'all were talking about how well he was doing, y'all kind of looked off into space and was like, damn, I wish I was in Philly right about now.
we on the defensive side, so it's different. So there you go.
Come on, man.
I'm happy to say one because they call it though, man. He's a dog, man. He's an animal.
Okay, one more. This is the last one. And y'all's up there like, damn, these coaches are a bunch of damn idiots. Oh, man. Damn, I wish I was in Philadelphia right now. Did anybody say that looking like damn? These coaches don't know what the hell they doing.
Nah, we were happy for Say, man. It was tough, man. We were all happy for him, man. We knew he could go crazy like how he did, so we was all happy for him.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. That was cool.
Great to see.
Aziz Ojulari joining us now, Eagles defensive end. And Aziz, coming into this year, I mean, obviously you played on that side for so long, now in Philadelphia. You know, how does it feel to being on this side of the rivalry where, you know, it's a team you face twice a year for your career so far? How does it feel to be on the other side of things?
Man, you know, it feels good, you know. You know, I was on the other side for a couple of years, but now I'm on this side. You know, it feels great to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm ready to rock. All the great guys that came here have rushed before me and played the defensive end position. It's just amazing to look up to and just continue to get better every day and just see how they do things here is different. And, you know, what they have done is amazing. And just want to keep going.
Yeah, you're really locked in too, man, because, I mean, that's kind of like been your mantra. You, this is for you. You're looking at this as an opportunity to, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, get back on track and kind of, you know what I mean, get on the right side of this thing.
For sure, yes, sir. I take it every single day. Just take that approach. Just get better, continue to improve my game, and whatever I could do to help this team win, I'm here to do it and ready to rock, for real.
And coming to a new team, Aziz, obviously a different situation for you. Do you feel like you have anything to prove coming into this season?
I feel like, you know, every year you got to come out here and you know, play at your best every single year, every single day. You got to keep proving it every single day when you step on that field. You got to give it all you got and just continue to try to dominate and just upbeat your game and just keep trying to get better every single day. You just got to keep going.
Now, I know that you just got here. I haven't been here too long, but the Eagles obviously lost the leader at the position that you play, Brandon Graham, guy who's here for so long. Just in your short time here, who do you see as some of the leaders on that side of the ball in the defense?
Man, you got a couple guys, you know, shoot, Jordan Davis, Zach Bond, you know, J.D., like, everyone really, I mean, Nolan, you got guys that have been here, you know, they've been through their Reed. You know, they've been through it. They've been through everything. You know, they won. They had some losses. The guys that have been through, you know, everything. And, you know, they're ready to lead and lead this team to victory for real. And you just follow their steps. I feel like they're going to lead us in the right direction.
So what them dogs going to do this year, man?
Hey, those Bulldogs. We got to run it. Hey, championships. We need it, man. SEC championship, national championship. We need it all. We got to get back to it.
There you go. And just one more for you here, Aziz. You know, as you were coming up, obviously pass rusher, there's so many guys to watch. Anybody who you've kind of watched pick things up from and kind of tried to model your game after, maybe Hugh Douglas?
Man, this cat don't remember when I played. He was a baby.
I mean, I am a young guy, but still, man. I mean, there's a lot of great guys that came through here, man. You know, I love Sweat Game, Brandon Graham, you know, a couple got Justin Houston, like my build, you know, and I like the way they rush and play this game. And, you know, I like watching their film, what they've done out there, and just try to just keep getting better and take little things I can take from them and add it to my game and come out here and show it every day.
And just one more for you here, Aziz. Obviously, opener coming up in a few weeks against the Cowboys, but later in the year, we all know you will play the Giants twice. Yeah. Any extra motivation going into those games to kind of, you know, show the Giants what they missed out on?
You know, I'm gonna go out there and compete like y'all.
He's trying to keep it PC.
I hate
the Giants.
Nah, you know, this is a game of football. I love. I go out there and ball and, you know, play hard as I can and, you know, make plays and celebrate with my teammates for real. We try to win.
Well, awesome. Well, excited for this season. Aziz Ojulari, obviously going to be an important part of this Eagles defense. Thanks a lot for hopping on with us today.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate
you. Aziz Ojulari, Eagles defensive end.
It is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, of course, brought to you by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as the Phillies continue a series down in D.C. Scott, how are you doing today?
Scott.
Oh. I'm doing all right.
Are you sure you're doing all right, Scott?
Well, you know, the last couple of days have been rough.
Yes, they have.
In a lot of ways. Got a little sleep last night. That was good.
Yeah, we heard about the travel issues. They had some trouble getting out of Cincinnati, Hugh, and they were able to get to D.C. until... When did you guys get into D.C., Scott?
We landed at Dulles at 2 in the afternoon. And the buses went straight to the ballpark and got there about 3.
Yeah, that is quite a turnaround. That's not the kind of travel that the Phillies or anybody wants. And last night, not a great night. The last few nights, not a great night or great nights for the Phillies here. Scott, what do you make of the offense right now, which they got so many clutch hits early in this road trip and found a way to win those games late? It just feels like those aren't coming at the same rate the last 4 or 5 games, where they're not scoring early and they're not scoring enough late either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the reason behind it is, but maybe it's just the ups and downs. But it's not been a good week for the offense. There's no question about that. I mean, obviously, the three guys at the top, who've largely just carried them this season offensively, they've kind of all, in one way or another, kind of hit the skids a little bit. I mean, you know, there's still a little bit of production here and there. You know, last night, 10 hits, that was good. You know, didn't generate that many chances all in all, kind of really scattered those 10 hits. But yeah, I mean, Abbott was really good the other day. Hunter Green was really tough the other day. I tell you, I don't know if I'd want to be the team playing them in a short series with a couple of starters like that. That'd be a tough challenge.
It certainly would. And I think Lodolo was out. He's out, but he's good, too. So they have a lot of pitching there. Scott, let's talk about Nick Castellanos. It feels like it's been a while with this down streak or, you know, slump he's been in. And, Scott, I think this came up last week when we spoke, but I'm starting to wonder just how much longer they can let him play every day. They have more options in the outfield now. If they played Bader in center on a more regular basis, they could use Kepler, and Castellanos is more of a more of a split in right field than just Castellanos basically every day. I know Saturday they did it, and I wondered if that was something that had come or it was just what they said, want to get him a day off on the turf in Texas. What do you think about Castellanos and where this is headed right now?
Well, obviously he's really, really struggling. You know, I've asked Rob about it numerous times recently, and, you know, one day it's, you know, he's not quite ready to move him down in the order, although he went down a tick last night, you know, moved up Marsh and moved Castellanos down, gave him the day off for the knee. But he, you know, in his pregame briefing with the press yesterday, he kind of hinted to the idea that there might be more days off to come. He said, you know, I mean, he kind of couched it in the idea that, you know, it's that time of year and maybe some guys could benefit from some more days off. I think that was kind of how he phrased it. And I wouldn't be shocked if you saw that type of alignment. I mean, tonight's probably not going to be the night with a lefty on the hill, but I would not be surprised if you see it. You know, if his struggles continue, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit more of what we saw last weekend against DeGrom.
So, Scott, so far, what do you think of Harrison Bader's contribution to the team?
Well, he's been good. He hasn't done a ton offensively. You know, he had the one big home run on the homestand, but he hasn't done a lot offensively. Now, you know, in his defense, he's been really in and out of the lineup, and maybe there's something to be said for just planting him out there in center field and figuring out the corners, you know. They haven't obviously gone to that that place yet. I think it still could be in the cards. Defensively, he's been great. Made a great catch, you know, to save a run the other night, rob a homer. To me, he's a really good center fielder. I mean, he just takes charge of all the balls in the gaps. He takes charge. You know, he's had one misstep, really, and that was that pop-up in shallow center. But other than that, I think he's been really, really good defensively. But, you know, again, not a whole lot offensively there.
Scott Fransky with us here in a Fransky Friday. Scott, let's talk about the pitching, which we'll welcome back an old face coming up on Sunday. Aaron Nola going to start that game Sunday off the injured list. And it's been a while. We haven't seen him since May. Very long injured stint, which is not typical for Aaron Nola. And Scott, the question in my mind is, what is Aaron Nola going to be like? Because I think we can excuse maybe the last few starts he had before he went on the IL, because clearly the ankle was bothering him. But he wasn't very good early in the season. And I think we assumed, all right, he'll figure it out. But now we haven't seen him in a long time. What's your expectation for Nola? Who, Scott, suddenly feels very important to me with the way the back of the rotation is. I feel like they need him again the way they kind of always do at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think they do. I think, you know, you still operate under the assumption that, I mean, you started the year, he was basically your number two guy. I know, you know, to me, he's hugely important, and you're obviously pushing every other starter out to insert him in. Maybe that'll only be for one turn. Maybe it'll be for more. I don't know. But yeah, I think he may not blow the doors off first start kind of thing, because he's still really, you know, I mean, it's a long, long layoff, so he's still working his way back. But yeah, I do think he's pretty important at this stage of the game, and I think you're still – You know that it's Wheeler and Sanchez 1 and 2. Who's number three? Who's going to be your third playoff starter if you're in a short series? You know, you could probably get by with three in a division series or wild card series or whatever the heck they call it. You know, if you get to that spot, but I think he's very, very important. So I'm curious to see what he's got.
We are too, Scott. That number three for a while felt like it was going to be Ranger Suarez.
Yeah.
And it's not looking great in that department now. What are you noticing when you watch him? I mean, the velocity's down, but he doesn't pitch with great velocity anyway, so that doesn't usually get me. But, boy, they were getting some good swings off him in Cincinnati this week.
They were, especially, I mean, after the first couple of innings, I mean, first seven batters, he looked like old Ranger. But after that, his command was way off. And then I thought he really kind of broke down mentally, to be honest with you. He really, I think, let some calls that he didn't agree with get to him. And, you know, I mean, he even kind of admitted that right at the end, that he was just sort of throwing at that point. And I think throwing with a little bit of anger, and that doesn't usually lead to very good results. So, Yeah, I mean, given the track record of last year, there's reason for concern. We kept thinking, you know, if he gets healthy, he'll figure it out, and he never really did last year. So we, you know, and you can understand there's probably a lot of pressure on Ranger. He's got a contract he wants to sign in the off season, and you know, this second half is starting to slip away from him. So yeah, I think there's plenty of reason for concern.
Scott, you brought up contract. I got to ask you, I'm wondering if you found it interesting. We clearly made a big deal out of it because, you know, that's what we do. The Schwarber stuff in Cincinnati this week, the homecoming, his dad and throwing out the first pitch. I mean, there's some thought out there that the Reds are going to try to pursue him in free agency. Did you find that over the top? I can't remember a time where there was an active player and it wasn't like a retirement tour, because those are different. Yeah. You know, it felt almost like that. Even though he's not in a retirement tour. What did you make of the Reds kind of celebrating Schwarber the entire series there?
Well, I mean, if it's laying the groundwork to get a guy they want, good for them. It's not a bad idea if that's what their end game is. I don't know how realistic it is for them to want to go after Schwarber in free agency, but I don't know if they're ready to commit the kind of dollars that it would take to get him. So, yeah, in that regard, was it over the top? I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I was about to ask that, too. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's different. You're right. I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that. So, you know, a game on, I guess, right?
I guess it is.
You know that he's going to be pursued.
Of course.
Whether it's the Reds or, Cleveland or any other team. You know, I'm not talking just hometown teams, any other. He's going to be pursued. But I do think he likes it here. I think he understands that the Phillies are interested and I would say more than interested. I mean, I think the Phillies have a full realization of how important he is both on the field and off. I don't think that's the case at all. This is going to be, you know, go out and see what the market is out there. And I think the Phillies would have every opportunity to try to make a matching kind of deal and try to sway him to stay. And I do think he likes it here. So
what is your gut telling you though, Scott? Cause you know, when you let somebody go out there and see if they can find greener pastures, mm-hmm. you know, those offers might be, you know,
sure.
They might be lofty.
Sometimes Hugh Douglas ends up in Jacksonville instead of on the Eagles. It happens.
Right. I mean, you know, Nola went to free agency, right?
Yeah.
And Nola tested the market. And Nola got a really good offer, apparently, from the Braves. And the Phillies had to make an even better offer. And, you know, it costs them a lot of money. And it may end up costing them more than it would have, say, a year ago or whatever, if you extended him. It's very likely with the year that he's having that it's going to, you know, cost you more than it would have at this, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that's kind of the price of poker, I guess. My gut tells me that they'll make, that they will, that money will not deter them from signing Kyle Schwarber. Just sheer dollars won't deter them. I don't think. I think they really, really understand how important he is, both in the lineup and in the clubhouse. For the organization, all those things. He's like kind of everything you want, and I don't think money is going to stand in the way for the Phillies.
Good to hear.
Well, that is great to hear, and hopefully it plays out the way we want, which is him back here. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be listening this weekend. Phillies and Nats, hopefully they get some wins here and get back home on Monday. Thank you, Scott.
All right, thanks. Let's get it turned around, boys.
Sounds great. Definitely. There he is. Scott Fransky, the voice of the Phillies there.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime.
From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.